And Father in heaven, we're so thankful for this, another day of life that you have given to us. We are thankful for this opportunity to be here, to go through this meeting. We've enjoyed this week so much. We pray that all will go well today. You will guide, guard, and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Welcome back. Happy Sunday morning to you all. Good to see you all back. Met a couple new faces today. Happy to meet you. Happy to have my wife with me today. She's doing much better. She's thankful to be here too. I felt a little thrown off. It's like half of me was gone yesterday, and feel much more settled today and just thankful that she's doing better. So we're going to jump right in. This lesson maybe is a little bit more time sensitive because we want to start worship at 11 o'clock. But it may end up being a little bit shorter. We'll see how this goes. So this lesson we're going to look primarily at one hymn. We're going to sing a lot of other hymns, but we're just going to kind of do maybe a slight bit of a hymn study today. We're going to look at the verses of a hymn and see if we can learn something from each verse. Kind of dig deep into words that we've been singing for years and years and years and years and try to find something that maybe we didn't know or remember something that we need to remember about how Christ wants us to be. And that is Ode to Be Like Thee, one of my favorites. In the second lesson that we did on, I guess that was yesterday morning, He's My King, we sang several hymns encouraging appropriate responses to Jesus as our King. We sang, I surrender all, I want to be a worker, is it for me? Just to name a couple of we sang, I don't want to rehash that lesson, but in this lesson we're going to look at this hymn, Ode to Be Like Thee, and see what it has to say about how citizens in Jesus' kingdom should behave or what their character should be like, what Jesus expects from us, what our hearts should be like. And to narrow that down maybe to one single word, Christ-likeness. We can think about that word for a minute. That's our aim, is to be like Christ. And I think this hymn really hits a couple points on and helps us to see what how God would, or how our King would have us to be. So the title of the hymn, it really sets us up, right? Oh, to be like thee. We understand that to be like thee part as Christ's likeness. We want to be like thee. We want to be like Christ. But when you add an O in front of it, it really changes it, right? It's not just to be like thee, which is noble and good, but oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee. It really changes the emphasis. When we add an O in front of something that we say, it changes the way we say it, right? And it deepens the meaning. When we add an O in front of it, something that we want to do, or be, or try, or eat, or see, or whatever, it means we really, really, really want it, right? It changes the way we say it. And I remember when my kids were tiny creatures, I would say, oh, I just wish they would sleep through the night, right? Really want it. I love sleep. You can ask my parents. I've always been a sleeper. I need sleep. But I couldn't sleep until they slept. And that's just the way it is, right? Mm-hmm. So I longed for sleep, right? And you may long to have a certain good meal that has a lot of remembrance in your mind and in your past. Or you deeply wish, oh, I really wish I hadn't done or said what I did. Or you may say, I wish I could see so-and-so again. So I think you understand the point, right? When we sing or say an O in front of something, especially, oh, to be like thee, it's not just saying, I want to be like you, Jesus. It's not just like an O, I want to be like you. But rather, I really, really, really want to be like you, my King and my Savior. Let's sing, "Oh, to be like thee." Let's get this going. Let's go ahead and stand together as we sing.
Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the
Let's take a look at that first verse again. I'll read it for you. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. So it starts out with how we've discussed already, an acknowledgement of Jesus as our Redeemer and our unceasing desire to be like him. Oh, to be like thee, right? This is my constant longing and prayer. In the second part of the verse, we as a singer say, we are more than happy to give up whatever is holding us back from pursuing Christ's likeness, right? Earth's treasures could mean a whole lot more than silver and gold, we know that. It could be a job or a relationship or some form of media or activities or accolades or a phone or technology. Really, anything that is tempting us away from Christ, we have to give it up if we truly aim to be like thee, right? in Mark chapter 10, we can see this in Jesus' interactions. He says, and as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God." And Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." And Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold more, or 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Let's sing together "A New Creature."
Buried with Christ, my blessed Redeemer, dead to the old life of folly and sin. Satan may call, the world may entreat me. There is no voice that answers within. Dead to the world, to voices that call.
World, to voices that call me, living a new.
verse 2. Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender, and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. In this verse, we shift now to how Jesus acted and behaved towards others when he was here on earth, right? We could spend the rest of the morning, right, looking at encounters where every one of these Jesus was perfect at, right? But for the sake of the lesson, I've chosen one parable to look at, and I think we can recognize a bunch of these behaviors within that parable. And that's one I'm sure you'll recognize as I begin reading. So just go ahead and listen. Luke chapter 10. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "Well, what is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "You've answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and he saw him, and he had compassion. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" And he said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." You can see the Samaritan's actions, right, in the second verse of Oh, to be likely. Full of compassion, loving, tender, and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. I guess you could even call this second verse of Oh, to be likely the neighborly verse. I think that would be a good name for that, right? So let's sing together now a hymn, "Christ for the World We Sing." I think that exemplifies what we should be doing, how we should be behaving just like this.
Christ for the world.
Verse 3. Oh, to be like thee, lowly in spirit, holy and harmless, patient and brave, meekly enduring cruel reproaches, willing to suffer others to save. The second verse was loaded with how to be like Christ in a neighborly kind of way, right? Looking to help those around us. Service is probably also a good word to describe verse 2. And then in this verse, we switch from how to be helpful to our neighbors to how to face opposition and enemies in a Christ-like way. Christ was humble in the face of opposition, right? He maintained his holiness by not sinning. He didn't strike back. He was the epitome of patience and ultimately brave. He showed meekness in the face of opposition and suffering it all in order to save souls. Wow, right? I really want to be like Christ in this way. In our society that we live, every one of these things in this verse about meekness and patience, those are seen as weakness, right, in our society. But the world has it all wrong. Listen to what Peter has said in his first letter in the second chapter. Be subject, for the Lord's sake, to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor, a supreme, or to governors, as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But when you do good and suffer and do good, sorry, but when you do good and suffer for it, you endure. This is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. When facing the worst the world has to throw at us, let us strive and long to face it like Christ, right? Not returning evil for evil, but returning only good. When we are willing to suffer to save others, then in a very Christ-like way, by our stripes, they are healed by Christ, right? Praise be to God.
Amen.
Let's sing "He Carried My Sorrows," one of two songs that we will use twice throughout the whole weekend. I just love this one so much. "He Carried My Sorrows."
He carried my sorrows. I
verse 4, the last verse. Oh, to be like thee, Lord, I am coming now to receive the anointing divine. All that I am and have I am bringing. Lord, from this moment, all shall be thine. All right, so we've been singing about wanting to be like our King. We've sung about how he handled every relationship and trial with grace, perfection. Now we come to when we say, all right, Lord, we're ready. We're ready. We're ready to be like you, right? And this in a maybe roundabout way, reminds me of one person, and that person is Abram. Let me read from Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. So here we have the Lord presenting Abram with promises of the greatest blessings. But to receive these blessings, however, Abram had to pack up and leave his homeland and all his extended family and basically his inheritance. And that's what he did. He said, I'm ready, and did what was asked of him. And don't you think it turned out all right for him? I'm thankful he did that, because it all comes back to these blessings to Abram, right? May we have the same resolve that Abram had to say to our King, I'm ready. Let's do this. It's time. Do what needs to be done at any cost, if it means I can be with you and be like you. Take my life and let it be.
Take my life and let it be.
It's my first time using the PowerPoint, so nearer, still nearer. Thinking about what we've been talking about and how this hymn fits in with that, reinforces it.
Nearer, still. Thank you.
Well, now I've reached the chorus of "Oh, to be like thee." Oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. What a way to end such a great hymn, right? Not just one "Oh, to be like thee," but two "Oh, to be like thee." I guess we sing that. First, if we say it just one time, but we're saying it twice, we got to really mean it. We have to really mean it, right? Whenever we sing any of these, we have to really mean it. But if we're saying something twice, that means we really, really mean it. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, a plea for Christ, our Redeemer, to come purely in all his goodness and completeness, to mold our hearts, to claim us as his, and as we allow him to make us into what we truly are meant to be. If we truly long to be like Christ our King, then I think this next hymn, "More Holiness Give Me," will help us to see what we need to be doing and what we should be working towards. "More Holiness Give Me."
More holiness give me, more strivings within, more patience in suffering, more sorrow for sin, more faith in my Savior, more sense of his care, more joy in his service.
Jesus, becoming one washed in his blood through baptism for the purification of your soul, and seek his sweetness and his fullness for the rest of your life in this flesh. He calls us to be like him, and he's never done anything wrong. So if he calls us, that's a right thing for him to do and for us to answer, right? And whether you're not in the kingdom or you've strayed back into the world, answer his call to come back to be with him. It is sweet and it is full. Make your needs known while we stand and sing together. Let him have his way with thee.
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with him? And you will see twice.
And then we'll take a short break and we'll start back in at 11 o'clock.
You're drunk again.